Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to listen to you. Help me to be open to your word, to whatever you are asking of me, to whatever you want to tell me, to those insights, those inspirations, those acts of love and sorrow that you want to give me. And we began our prayer, as always, invoking our Immaculate Mother. In her immaculate heart that loved you, that loves the Father and the Holy Spirit, that loves all mankind, that loves me. And in her love comes to comfort you and comes to comfort me and everyone. Truly, comforter of the afflicted. We open the Gospel of Luke to the second chapter where he narrates the birth of Christ in Bethlehem and the coming of the shepherds to whom the angels had announced, "I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the angel gives the shepherds that sign that they will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And they make haste to go to Bethlehem. They see that great mystery of the Savior of God wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And St. Luke goes on, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart." Mary, you pondered these things, those mysteries of your son Jesus, in your heart, in your immaculate heart, in your loving heart, in that heart that was without any stain of sin from your immaculate conception, but without any stain of personal sin either, by your effort to correspond to the will of God always. There was no sin, there was no stain, there was no self-love. Our hearts are laden with self-love. They are limited by that love for ourselves. Your heart was without any pride. It was all humble. You were the handmaid of the Lord, and you praised God in the Magnificat because he looked graciously upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Mary, your heart was totally given over to God. It was a heart fully capable of loving to the end, because there was no self-love. And that is the way you loved Jesus. And that is the way Jesus loved you, because his heart was like that too. There was no self-love in Jesus. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them, he loved us to the end. And your two hearts were one. Each of you loved the other to the extreme. Your hearts beat in unison. Each felt keenly what was in the other. And Mary, to have your heart one with the heart of God, God incarnate in Jesus, a perfect love. And then that love for Jesus extends to your love for all mankind. He is the firstborn among many brethren, and especially all those who by baptism become members of his mystical body. Your love for the head is love for all the members. Whether we are living that love out or whether we are distant from Christ, you love us. You love the whole mystical body. You love everyone, and you are there as comforter of the afflicted, as intercessor in heaven for everyone because you love us. But Mary, your heart was destined to suffer. When someone loves another, suffering inevitably comes, because there are times when that other lets us down, is not there for us, or that other is suffering. And because we love that person, we suffer with him or her. And Simeon, that old man, told you, Mary, that you would suffer. When you went with Joseph to present Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem when he was 40 days old, Simeon appeared. He took Jesus in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." His life is now fulfilled. He has taken the Savior in his arms, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed." A sword will pierce through your own soul also. You will have to suffer because you love so much, because you love Jesus so much, because you love mankind so much, and especially mankind lets you down, lets God down, is not with their heart in God, they sin. We all do, and you love us, and you suffer for us. And we see how much you suffer when we go astray, when at the age of 12, Jesus is lost in the temple. You have gone there with Joseph to take Jesus for the feast of the Passover, as you usually did. And when the feast was ended, we read, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And St. Luke does not tell us, Mary, what you and Joseph experienced that night. Jesus is lost. He is not here. He is only 12. Where is he? And we can imagine, or perhaps we can't begin to imagine, your suffering. The loss of Jesus, your son, the son of God. Has harm come to him? Where is he? Only a mother can understand what it is to lose a child. The anguish that you felt. And then you go back another day's journey to Jerusalem. And after 3 days, we read, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." The anguish, the anxiety of a mother and of Saint Joseph. "Why have you treated us so?" How much, Mary, you suffered in those 2 days and a half. On the third day you found him. And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. How would they? "I must be in my Father's house." They would have thought, "Why didn't you tell us that you were going to stay behind, that you needed to be there? We suffered so much." And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And again, St. Luke tells us, his mother kept all these things in her heart. In that heart of Mary, that immaculate heart, that heart of a mother. And that heart is already suffering greatly when Jesus is lost, as she suffers when we are lost, when we sin, when we wander off the track. Our mother suffers for us too. And then at the wedding feast of Cana, again that heart of Mary is moved. We open the Gospel of St. John to the second chapter. On the third day there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the marriage with his disciples. When the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Mary's heart feels for that couple. They are embarrassed. The wine has run out. And she doesn't just lament like the other guests. She feels for them. Can something be done? Yes, Jesus is God. He has not yet done any miracle, but Mary knows that he is God. Perhaps this can be the occasion for his first miracle. And Mary simply says, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." But Mary knows that Jesus can and will do that miracle and tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." They fill those 6 water pots to the brim, and Jesus turns it into the best wine. But it all begins because of the heart of Mary, which feels for that couple. And again, she shows herself to be comforter of the afflicted. And then we go especially to Calvary. We open the Gospel of St. John to the 19th chapter. And he says very succinctly, "Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Mary is there. And Jesus, you are crucified. You are nailed through the wrists and the feet. You hang on that cross for 3 hours, suffering that agony, the nails, the suffocation, except when you try to lift yourself up, and then the pain in your wrists and your feet increases. And over 3 hours you are there, and Mary is there with you. If any one of us were asked to stand beside a cross on which someone was being crucified, and we were there when they put those big nails through their body and we saw them writhe, if we had to watch them suffer for 3 hours, we could not stand it. We would not be there for 5 minutes, perhaps for 10. We could not take that suffering for that person. Watching them suffer, we would suffer. But Mary is not just another person. She is not watching a stranger suffer that agony. She's watching her very son. And this is the heart of Mary that loved like no other. And she knows Jesus is innocent. And he's suffering for us who have nailed him to the cross by our sins. And she stands there until the end. What suffering of Mary. No one could suffer as much as she did. This is the greatest possible suffering, watching her innocent, divine son suffer all of that physical and moral pain for us. And then the soldiers pierce your heart, Jesus. As we read, since it was the day of preparation in order to prevent the bodies from remaining on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. That sword pierced your heart. It pierced Mary's heart too. You were dead. You couldn't feel it. She could feel it. It went right through her heart because her heart and yours were one. And that was the culmination of that suffering of Mary as comforter of the afflicted when you were so afflicted at the cross. And we read in the sequence for September 15th, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, that beautiful hymn, at the cross her station keeping, stood the mournful mother weeping. Close to Jesus to the last, through her heart his sorrow sharing, all his bitter anguish bearing. Now at length the sword had passed. Oh, how sad and sore distressed was that mother highly blessed of the soul begotten one. Christ above in torments hangs, she beneath beholds the pangs of her dying glorious son. And then these beautiful words, is there one who would not weep, whelmed in miseries so deep, Christ's dear mother to behold? Can the human heart refrain from partaking in her pain, in that mother's pain untold? Can we not weep with her? Can we not feel for her, steeped in misery, bruised, derided, cursed, defiled? She beheld her tender child all with bloody scourges rent for the sins of his own nation, saw him hang in desolation, till his spirit forth he sent for the sins of his own nation, our sins. Lord, it was our sins that nailed you to the cross, and Mary was suffering for you who were bearing that pain, suffering for us who were the sinners who had caused it. How much Mary suffered. And St. Bernard calls Mary for this reason truly a martyr. He says, truly, O Blessed Mother, a sword has pierced your heart, for only by passing through your heart could the sword enter the flesh of your Son. Indeed, after your Jesus, who belongs to everyone but is especially yours, gave up his life, the cruel spear, which was not withheld from his lifeless body, tore open his side. Clearly, It did not touch his soul and could not harm him, but it did pierce your heart. For surely his soul was no longer there, but yours could not be torn away. Thus the violence of sorrow has cut through your heart, and we rightly call you more than martyr, since the effect of compassion in you has gone beyond the endurance of physical suffering. There is that moral suffering, that spiritual martyrdom. Mary, how much you suffered because how much you loved and how much you love. And Jesus, before he died, gave you to us as our mother. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Behold your son. Jesus, you said that to Mary, looking at John and thinking of all the Christians down the ages. We are your children, Mary's children. She is our mother. And then to the disciple, to each one of us, behold your mother. And just as John took her into his own home, Mary takes us into her heart. We are hers. We are her children. And she suffers for us. She suffers with our sins, with our waywardness, with our lack of faith and hope at times, and love. She suffers when we are sick, when we have lost our job, when our marriage is not going well, when our children have problems, when we are not getting along with someone, especially someone close to us, when we have lost a loved one through death, when we have suffered an accident or a setback in any way. Mary is our mother, and she feels for us, she suffers with us, and she comforts us as comforter of the afflicted. Mary, you are always there for us. No matter what we are suffering, you are with us, you are our mother. And help us to give thanks to you for that. We don't know how many times in our life you have been there, strengthening us when we wondered how we would get through that crisis. But you are there as our mother, interceding for us in heaven, telling Jesus he, she has no one, needs special help in this moment. And Lord, you do whatever your mother asks, as you did it at Cana. And as so many have said, you never said no to your mother on earth. You will not say no to her in heaven. She shares in your omnipotence. And the tradition calls her supplicating omnipotence. She is with you, next to Mary, only God. She is the closest one to you. What she asks, you do. And you are there comforting us at Mary's intercession. Truly, comforter of the afflicted. Mary, help us to realize the love you have for us. Help us to offend Jesus less, to sin less, to struggle for that love which is holiness, consisting in doing his will as you did, as you, the handmaid of the Lord, did everything that God asked of you, not only in Nazareth at the Annunciation, but throughout your life, to the end. Help us not to offend God. Be there for us, interceding for us. Give us more love, so that we will be stronger when we are tempted to sin. And we know you are there when we are suffering in all of those ways we mentioned, Help us to realize it, to go to you, to pray to you when we are afflicted and say, Mary, comforter of the afflicted, help me, help these people around me. To be faithful to God until the end. And we read going on in that sequence, O you mother, fount of love, touch my spirit from above, make my heart with yours accord. Make me feel as you have felt, make my soul to glow and melt with the love of Christ our Lord, the love that you had more than any human being could have, but make my soul too to glow and melt with the love of Christ our Lord. Holy Mother, pierce me through, in my heart each wound renew of my Savior crucified. Let me share with you his pain, who for all my sins was slain, who for me in torments died. For all my sins was slain. Let me mingle tears with you, mourning him who mourned for me all the days that I may live. By the cross with you to stay, there with you to weep and pray, is all I ask of you to give. Virgin of all virgins best, listen to my fond request. Let me share your grief divine. Let me to my latest breath in my body bear the death of that dying son of yours. Wounded with his every wound, steep my soul till it has swooned in his very blood away. Be to me, O Virgin, nigh, lest in flames I burn and die in his awful judgment day. Be to me, O Virgin, nigh, near. Help me to avoid sinning, especially committing mortal sins. And then that final verse, Christ, when you shall call me hence, be your mother my defense, be your cross my victory. While my body here decays, may my soul your goodness praise, safe in paradise with you. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.